Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today, I want to kind of wrap up our little bitty discussions over the last couple weeks about the abiding in Christ and what it means to be a branch on a vine as a topic. And the particular scripture that I'm going to use at this time is found in Colossians 3, verses 3 through 4. And they read simply as follows. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. Now, what we find here is that the person who abides in Christ as the crucified one begins to learn what it means to not just be crucified with him in the sense of dealing with sufferings, but it also means to indeed be dead with him unto sin. And this is what we've been talking about these last couple days. In fact, the abiding in Christ is a death to sin because we are abiding in a risen and glorified Christ as well. And it's in this way that we become a partakers of his resurrected life and of the glory with which he is now being crowned in heaven, because that is where we are currently hidden if we are truly abiding in Christ. In fact, there are unspeakable blessings that come from this type of union of our soul with the Lord Jesus Christ and in what we can experience as far as his glorified life while we live here on earth. If we continue to walk in this way, we'll find that it's in this life of perfect victory and rest that we really find the victory that is the true benefit of all Christianity. In fact, as we move forward and really take a look at it, we understand that before his death, Jesus Christ, our Savior and the Son of God, had to suffer and struggle. He could be tempted and troubled by sin, by all of his assaults. But now as the risen one, he has triumphed over sin, and in his humanity, he's entered into a participation with glory with God the Father that he now shares with each one of us as members of his body. The believer who abides in him shall be led to see how the power of sin and the flesh are truly indeed destroyed, and can become more conscious of the complete and everlasting deliverance that is possible by abiding in Christ as a branch on the vine. In fact, the deeper we go into this, the more blessed our rest and peace can be found in him. The fruit of such conviction is that the victory and deliverance are an accomplished fact and is something that can take possession of your life. By abiding in Christ, in whom we are raised and set into heavenly places, we receive the glorious life that comes from the head of the church through every members of his body, which is the blessed eternal life that comes from having true fellowship with God. And this is the fellowship we experience in prayer, and this is the fellowship that we receive when we truly do work with one another as we ought. It is in this life of full fellowship with the Father's love and the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus gives a great prominence of his thought to his disciples in his high priestly prayer, specifically John 17, verse 5, when he prays, O Father, glorify me in you with your own self and with the glory with which I had with you. As a believer abiding in Christ, the glorified one is the one that we are united with. And we need to realize and experience through this union what being with Jesus on the throne implies. It means really getting an understanding of the true reality of the beatific vision that is the heavenly vision, the highest glory of heaven, its highest blessing, of being able to see God face to face and really perceive and know him as he is. And this is something which is possible for us to begin to get glimpses of here on earth. We don't get the full glimpse, but we get enough of it that we can perceive it as our portion and lot in this life, because we can find God in every moment, in everything, and in everything around us that really truly should bring us to exalt in His name and praise Him. So this is what it really is. It's kind of the learning of always continuing in the fellowship with the head, so that you dwell in the secret of the Father's presence. This is the shadow of the Most High that the psalmist writes about when he says that the Most High will cover us with His wings, so to speak. It's the thing that Jesus on earth was trying to, I always say, point us to in his parables, so that we would really understand that everything that is holy and perfectly in harmony with the will of God is ours now through what's the kingdom within us. So as we abide in Christ and we begin to let our lives testify to Him, we'll begin to experience the high fellowship of a spirit sanctified and growing in harmony with the Father's will, to the extent that the heavenly life and the kingship of Jesus Christ and the power that He has will cast out every sin and weakness and temptation that we have and help us to overcome while we walk in this life. This is the saint's portion. This is what St. John Bosco was praying for when he daily would pray to God, "Please take me before I ever fall away from You." And it's the blessedness of true fellowship with God. And this is what the life of Christian normality should be, instead of what we experience in our own struggles. Because we are truly seated on the throne. We truly do get a dispensation of various gifts bestowed by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit dwelling within us, and a never-ceasing flow of love that helps us work and do those things that Christ wants us to do on earth, such as the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, of warning the sinner, giving food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, and so forth. Because we do it truly in love and in the power of the Spirit. Because if we truly get to the point of abiding in Jesus Christ, we'll learn what it is to be stirred and strengthened to work because of the glory that God the Father shares with us through Christ, through His humanity. And therefore, we receive it because we're part of that body of Christ in the sense of being His church. The Spirit and love of Jesus Christ is something that will breathe into you and will give you the will and the power of God to truly be a blessing to others. Jesus went to heaven with the very object of obtaining the power that you need to be blessed abundantly. He does this as your heavenly vine, not only as a mediator, but as the means through which it comes down to earth. So therefore, whoever of you decides to follow on this, what this teaching has been all about these past couple days and weeks, and truly unite with Christ and abides in Him, you will bear much fruit, for you'll receive of the Holy Spirit the very power of the eternal life of the exalted Lord, and you too will become a channel for the fullness of Jesus to be seen in the world. A channel in which others will be able to recognize Him as their Prince, their Lord, their Savior, and truly be able to bless others by how you live, by giving them what they need in their timely fashion. But there's one more thought that you need to have in regard to truly abiding in Christ and really understanding what this is all about. It's about having this wondrous expectation and hope, an expectation of hope that just as Christ sits at the right hand of God, expecting His enemies to be made His footstool, looking forward to the time when He'll receive His full reward, when His glory will be made manifest and everybody will see Him in glory, that this hope of Christ is the hope of each one of us as redeemed, because we have enemies of sin and temptation that need to be put under our footstools. We need to see this. Because as John 14:3 points out, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. The promise of Christ to be with us and us with him is the joyful blessing, our hope that we have of eternity. We have the joy of meeting and being with him as the bridegroom with the bride. The life of Christ is a glory unto us of the longing expectation of heaven. For the full glory only comes when we, the beloved of Christ, truly are with him for all eternity. This is the true nature of heaven that we can know today, is the fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and really get into this whole fellowship idea, this whole relationship idea with God. This is what heaven is truly all about, is fellowshipping with God and also relating one another in the way that we're supposed to. Because as believers, if we abide closely with our Savior Jesus Christ, we will share with him in everything, even the spirit of expectation of heaven, where all of us will be together and truly be able to praise him for all eternity. This is not so much a increase in personal happiness, but is a spirit of enthusiastic allegiance to God that comes from a very longing to see him in his glory, that longs to see him reigning over every enemy in life, and really getting into the full revelation of God's everlasting love. His promise was merely that he would come again and receive us unto himself. So until he comes, this is the watchword of every true-hearted believer. We look for Jesus Christ to appear so that we too will appear with him in glory. This is our eternal hope. This is why we do the things that we do, why we continue to persevere, why we unite ourselves with God in a relationship, is because we're looking for this end of our lives. This high calling is where we're trying to be. Now, there are very serious differences and stuff that we ourselves as individuals might have about this second coming. And there's various things about when the second coming comes as to when it would be and all that jazz. And a lot of people get hung up on the end time prophecy stuff that's out there and available for a lot of people. And it seems that if we really understand it as we ought, it's the expectation, and part of the reason why I'm wrapping this up today, of the expectation of the Advent season, of really looking forward to God coming back and truly reigning so that we could reign with him. And when we really understand that he is coming soon, that it is a speedily coming, it is something that is our hope and our mainstay for why we continue to live out a true Christian life. Now, I need to qualify this, that the second coming of Jesus Christ isn't necessarily an end time thing. It could just be an end of your life type thing. As a priest once told me, it makes no difference if Jesus Christ is coming back 3 months from now if you're going to die in 3 days. Now, does it? You have to be ready for Christ today. And that's our blessed hope. That's what we prepare for. This is why we unite with him in Christ. And this is why we really get into being a branch on the vine. Because when we truly understand the idea of the second coming, it's a second coming unto each one of us individually as a branch on a vine, before it's a second coming in full revelation. A lot of what we talk about as Catholics is the real presence of Christ that's made manifest in the Eucharist every Mass, because that is a second coming in a sense. It's not the full second coming, but it is an incarnation, a Christmas moment when the Word is once more again made flesh and dwelt among us. That's why we have 40 hours benediction or perpetual adoration, where people go into chapels around the world and they sit before the Blessed Sacrament and spend time with Jesus. This is the blessedness of the Second Coming. Now, the Second Coming can also mean the Judgment Day, where at the end of time, when there's a solemn transition from time to eternity, where history comes to a close on earth and begins with heaven being manifested all around. And the joy of that manifestation of the Savior's glory is no less a joy and a strength to each one of us. But it is more Jesus. Jesus coming again. Jesus taking us to himself. Jesus uniting with us as a branch on a vine. That should be the pursuit every moment of our lives. Because abiding in Christ is where you truly get what you are looking for in that second coming of judgment. Because there is a relationship that you can have with God right now that is the foretaste of heaven, that should truly be the blessing for your soul, the most blessed experience that you pursue after. And this is why we should be more occupied with how we live than really other things of Scripture like the end of the world. In fact, God doesn't tell us exactly when that happens because he wants us to be prepared for it. He wants us to really be looking forward to the end of everything by how we live today, right now, in his presence. Because you can have many opinions about when things will happen or what the signs of his coming are, but the one thing that you do know for a fact is you can abide with him as a branch on a vine and experience that second coming today just by doing that. Because that's where the victory comes. That's where the blessing comes. In humility, you need to be willing to learn what the deeper revelations of truth are, so that you never miss out on what God has for you. Because heaven is about that coming of the Savior where he unites with us and persuades us through his ministry of either the church or other testimonies from other individuals that everything truly rests in his power, a power that comes to us as a branch on a vine. We testify of a Savior who is a coming again individual. We continue to abide and bear in that image so that others can see him and come to him as well. Neither of these two worldviews of the future coming being something years down the road or within our lifetime or as part of the branch on the vine are really of great importance if we truly learn to unite ourselves with Christ as branches on the vine. Because it's only when we truly unite ourselves with Christ as a branch that we can truly become a channel through which the glory of God gets manifested to the world. We become a transfiguration of God that breaks out and shines forth of the indwelling glory that is waiting for the very day of revelation that everybody seems to be running around looking for when they listen to various prophecy teachers or read books like The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey and other types of ministries that are out there talking about the end times. Because our life is supposed to be hid with Christ in God. We are supposed to be seated with Christ in heavenly places, as Ephesians 1:20 reminds us. Because we're abiding with Christ, who is glorified, who is in heaven. That's why we are able to pray and have success with prayer, is because we're united with him in that way. And it's a uniting that has not just you alone, but you with others. That's where church comes in. That's where the going to Mass comes in. That's where being around other Christian believers are. Recognizing that, yes, they can be hypocritical. They can fail. They can fall from grace. Because it's all about learning to abide in the vine. And we're not all perfect yet. But as we continue to maintain that union, the very work which Christ has begun with his, with his cross is made available to you and I. A power that helps us overcome sin and keeps us from yielding ourselves to temptation, because we're yielded completely and entirely unto Him. We need to really understand this, because this is a wondrous thing of divinity that's been made to us, and it's something that we need to have faith in and yield ourselves by a choice of the will to actually apprehend. Because we are called to a faith in being transformed from glory unto glory. Now, I will say that for many of you, you might be catching some of these scriptures that I'm kind of referencing without really saying, but they are there. We do need to have that. We need to have a clearer insight and a more firmer hold on God's truth as we grow in the Christian faith, so that it truly becomes a wondrous faith that is wonderfully simple, but also wonderfully mighty, and truly makes us have a reverential fear towards God, a reverential awe towards God. Because we'll learn to abandon ourselves even more entirely to the keeping of Christ's almighty power, and really experience the glory of fellowship with God as a key to eternity. Because as we continue to do this, and as we continue to learn of the Spirit's indwelling within us that communicates all that Christ is, we no longer see Christianity as a burden or a work or an external religion. We look at it as something of the divine life that truly is imparted to us by a relationship that we have. As its own work, faith increases in helping us abandon ourselves and our self-will to a point that we really understand that we have within us no good thing, as Paul declared, and truly reach out to Christ as a branch on the vine to truly get the energy and the power through the grace of God that is greater than any weakness that we experience. Because faith will increase this, and our expectation and acceptance of all the love and power of God will come down into us through the Holy Spirit. And in that faith, our unbroken fellowship will be maintained by Him as we continue to cooperate with Him and continue to see ourselves grow in conformity to the realization of all that we understand Christ to be. For as Moses was able to have a transfiguration like Jesus, to where he had to wear a veil in his later years, we can have a fellowship that makes us partakers of the glory of God as well, where the brightness comes not of this world, but of the eternal world, because we are truly experiencing God, who is the light of eternity and the light of our lives. This is the blessed life of eternity, a life that is ours if Jesus is truly ours and we abide in Him. We just have to allow ourselves to be taken into Christ and in its hidden power of indwelling Christ and being a branch on the vine. We will come to this fuller glory of God that is only a dream for many, but it is the call of a Christian to truly come and abide as a branch on the vine. Every day our lives should be a bright and blessed proof of the hidden power of Christ that dwells within us, preparing us for a glory of eternity that has yet to be revealed. So I do say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, may our abiding in Christ, who is the glorified one, be your power to live out the glory of the Father and truly make you fit for everything that eternity has waiting for you, to the glory of God the Son. And as John, in his first epistle, declared, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have this confidence and not be ashamed for Him at His coming." As 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, we need to have confidence in Him and not be ashamed at what we are at His coming. And we can do that if we truly learn to abide in Him as a branch on the vine. If we truly let Him live His life through us, because we are truly crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live.
But the life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who died for us. A very important thing for us to learn. To truly be not under the law of sin and death, but under grace, being led by the Spirit of God into the glory of God. This is the promise of eternity. And this is what God holds out for you, if you today will abide in Him as a branch on the vine. Hopefully this has encouraged you in some way to go a little bit deeper into your Christian life. I would recommend to any of you, as kind of a preparation for Advent and also a preparation for Christmas that's coming in a couple short weeks, to just spend time in prayer, really getting this vine and the branches thing, and really getting an idea that God wants to manifest Himself in and through you in the same way that the divinity was in Christ, but not that you're Christ, but that the divinity, the glory that He shared with Moses, is a glory that you can share in today. Because it's a glory of God that comes to those who are truly in His presence. It's a reminder that if you truly are in the presence of God, you will be a much better person, a much more holier individual as a result. There's a saying that you are who you fellowship with, you are who you run with, and that if you run with a pack of wolves, you're probably a wolf, and if you run with a pack of sheep, you're probably a sheep. You're always known by who you associate with. So why don't you today come unto Christ and really associate yourself with Christ and learn to associate yourself with real Christians. Start with that moment before the Blessed Sacrament and let it take you deeper in a way that can only be recommended and understood by experience. So I call you today to a deeper level with Christ. Don't be ashamed at His second coming. Now, hopefully this has been a blessing to you. I know I've said it before and I'll say it again. We do have a patron program that allows for others to be blessed by this ministry as well. Hopefully you will consider a $5 minimum amount per month so that we can do other things with this ministry. It's here as a blessing to you. Hopefully you want to be a blessing back and really get into the partaking that comes from being a partner with this ministry. It's available if you click on the patron .podbeam.com/dtesh link that's available in the comment section. And hopefully it takes you a little bit further into this walk with Christ so that you too can truly be a saint worthy of eternal glory. Thank you, and I hope you have a blessed day.